Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
We are nearly there with the counting across the country in the local and European elections and the Limerick mayoral election as well. It's been quite the weekend and our reporters have been across the ground since the very start of it. They did a wrap with me on Friday night looking ahead to everything as we were preparing for a very long weekend, and I don't think some of them have slept since. So we're going to go around the ground, see how things are. As of recording, the Europeans are not quite finished, but we've got a pretty good picture. So we're going to start with the one race that is definitively done and ended up being a bit more definitive than I thought we expected, at least. Ellen Butler was in Limerick for all the crack and the gossip. And Ellen, we were saying on Friday night, there was no poll at any point during the campaign, so it was a complete and utter free-for-all. And then pretty clearly a favourite emerged.
Yeah, that's right, Sean. It was one of those where you just didn't want to nail your colours to any mast in case you were totally wrong, because like you say, it was pretty unpredictable heading into election weekend. But from pretty early on, to be honest, Saturday morning when tallying began and the boxes were opened, John Moran, that independent candidate, the former Secretary General at the Department of Finance, really kind of pulled ahead. Now, there was others behind him. You had fellow independent Helen O'Donnell. You had, of course, two TDs in the mix, and Sinn Féin's Maurice Quinlivan was doing quite well in Limerick City. And of course, you don't want to totally trust tallies because, you know, they may not be accurate in the end. They're only a flavour of things. But this was a cross-party tally, which means all of the parties were coming together to kind of get a better sense of how the land lay. And then counting began on Monday morning after the locals were all wrapped up and finished in Limerick. And once again, it kind of became pretty clear that John Moran was going to pull ahead. We were wondering what there might be a surprise thrown in there. You know, Helen O'Donnell was consistently kind of behind him at all times. Dee Ryan, a Fianna Fáil, then was catching up with Helen. We thought maybe they might pass each other out. And then it was all going to be down to transfers because, of course, you know, the first preferences, and that gives you a real sense of how people, I suppose, felt about each candidate. But then we didn't know how the second preferences would throw, I suppose, maybe a spanner in the works. And on that front, actually, there was no rhyme or reason to it, really. It wasn't like an ordinary election where things would go on party line or, you know, people might vote left, transfer left, that kind of thing. People seem to go with whoever the individual they thought would be best to be the first ever mayor of Limerick. And, of course, in the end, John Moran really pulled ahead. There's about 5,000 votes between him and his next nearest rival, Helen O'Donnell, in the end. And then, yeah, we had our winner in this historic election then, John Moran claiming victory to become Ireland's first ever directly elected mayor.
And tell me a bit more about him. He's an interesting guy, obviously former Secretary of the Department of Finance in some of the bad years under Michael Noonan. And Michael Noonan gave him a lot of credit, but he was a lawyer on Wall Street in the past. He worked for McCann Fitzgerald. He's worked a lot in the US and in other places. He was at one point the head of Zurich Bank's Asian operations. Like, this is a guy who's been around the houses and in some pretty high level boardrooms across the world and is now the first person, as you say, to take up this the inaugural job.
Yeah, that's right. It's a funny one because people, of course, it hasn't been done before, so people didn't know exactly what kind of personality or individual would best suit this position. The people of Limerick think it's probably an independent, apolitical kind of person. But as you say, John Moran has so much experience, such a breadth of experience. He grew up in Limerick, just outside the city, and went away pretty much for a lot of his life. He came back to Ireland then after the crash and worked away in the Department of Finance, himself saying he wanted to help sort of rebuild the country. So he seems to really have that sort of drive to make a positive impact. But he's certainly very experienced in the world of finance and governance. He sat on many a board, and that's something he really brought to his campaign as well, that he wanted to really, I suppose, improve transparency, accountability and delivery within Limerick Council, which, to be fair to Limerick Council, it's not that they were singled out. It's just that in the plebiscite back in 2019, the people of Limerick were the only, out of themselves, Cork and Waterford, to vote to have this historic election. And the idea of this position is to improve delivery. The idea is that instead of, I suppose, decisions being made in Dublin about what will happen in Limerick, decisions are now going to be made in Limerick and ultimately by the people of Limerick because they elected him. So it seems that he will bring this kind of, I suppose, international outlook to Limerick. Like I say, he was away for many years, got a lot of his experience away from Limerick, and is bringing all of that, those skills, and insight back to Limerick, and is hoping to sort of inject that into the economy, into the city and the county, and to ultimately make it a better place to live, work, and visit. And I suppose close eyes will be kept on him, especially by his mayoral election competitors, to see will he follow through on all of those promises.
Yeah, I do wonder now, will Cork and Waterford regret not going down this route? And I think it's interesting too that we didn't get the celebrity candidate, given that that's where a lot of politics has gone the last 10 years, even I suppose since Donald Trump was there. And he's not he's a big enough name in Limerick, but you ask the average person on the street, I wouldn't say they know who John Moran is. Ellen, of course, being the political nerd I am, I'm always looking ahead to the next general election and what it means. Four enough votes for Brian Leddon and for Maurice Quinlivan, the sitting TDs. But Helen O'Donnell, like, really, she should have been a Fine Gael candidate. She's the wife of former Fine Gael TD. There's, I think she's the aunt to Kieran O'Donnell, the sitting minister at the moment. Any indication from her that she might be someone to put her hat in the name when it comes to the general?
It doesn't appear so, Sean. As you say, she was an independent candidate, ran as an independent, but was viewed in Limerick very much as a Fine Gael person. As you say, the wife of the late Fine Gael minister Tom O'Donnell. And there was a bit of, I suppose, discontent, you could say, within Fine Gael circles in Limerick, including from Daniel Butler, Fine Gael's own candidate in this race, who said that it pretty much damaged, I think both of their chances, really, and his chances certainly, because it split the Fine Gael vote. It doesn't seem like Helen has great political ambitions, to be honest. She's been working away in Limerick. She's from Sligo originally, but been running the Hunt Cafe in the Hunt Museum in Limerick for the last 30 odd years. Is steeped in the community there, involved in various different community groups, including the Tidy Towns and Clean Up Limerick projects. So it doesn't seem like she's much taste for going up to Leinster House. She certainly didn't tell us so anyway. One to watch, though, I would say, is Dee Ryan of Fianna Fáil. Dee was the former CEO of Limerick Chamber before she stepped down so she could run in this race. She had been courting a few political parties and eventually became Fianna Fáil's candidate. And it looks like she now would be interested in further political ambitions. She was asked about it, in fact, when she was eliminated from the mayoral race, and pretty diplomatically pushed those questions aside and said this wasn't a time to talk about that. So it seems like she's in a pretty good position. She finished better than expected in third place to become Limerick's mayor, but she will have to contend with Willie O'Dea, who of course is notoriously, I suppose you could say, territorial about Limerick City, and he is the sitting Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick City, of course. So we'll see if she end up becoming a running mate there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, over Willie O'Dea's dead body now, will she be the candidate at the next election? But we'll see how much more he has left him. Ellen, thanks so much for joining us. Go get a bit of sleep. A long shift put in at the Limerick Count Centre over the last few days. And thanks for bringing those updates across News Talk. We're going to go to a count that is still ongoing as of recording at the moment, and that is in Ireland South, where our southern reporter Jamie O'Hara is there. Jamie, you've had a long stint, and it's not quite done yet. But we do know a few things. It's pretty nailed on who at least the first two and possibly the first three candidates are.
We do, Sean. Yeah, it's been a bit of a slog here with the last couple of days. And I was just talking to Martin Harvey, the returning officer for Nemo Rangers Count Centre, and he said he doesn't actually expect to see even Billy elected today. He said they might go till about 10 o'clock tonight, and then they would hopefully have him sorted in the morning. He's around 20,000 votes shy of the quota, which is about 114,000. And like you say, the order remains unchanged in terms of the favourites. You've got the Clare TD independent Michael McNamara would be third. Cynthia Nimurucu is fourth, and Mick Wallace is fifth. They're all in the running. Now, just shy of that, then you've got Kathleen Funchen, and you from Sinn Féin, and you've got current MEP Grace O'Sullivan, who would be, I suppose, what would that be, seventh? Yeah, it's been a long slog here. There's been a lot of counts. There's been about 10 people knocked out so far. That's going to continue today with a count every hour, then a count every hour and 15, then a count in an hour and 30. There's going to be 15 minutes added every time. You can see it in the count staff as well. I mean, you know, the enthusiasm here on Saturday when they were separating the ballots first. There was no counting done Saturday. It was separating. And then on from the local election ones. And then on Sunday, then the count proper began and everyone was bright eyed and bushy tailed. And slowly but surely, everyone is kind of, you know, 1,000-yard stare. But they're getting through it, to be fair. Martin Harvey, returning officer, is pretty happy with the progress. He was telling me that one of the important things about doing this knockout process, this elimination process, is to try to see if the candidates could get back their deposit. So if they get, is it a quarter of the quota, they get their deposit back. So he said it's an important part of democracy to go through and eliminate people one by one.
Yeah, and that that money, of course, all important to the end. So let's just run through how we think the rest of it will shake out. So as you say, Cathaoine Funchen of Sinn Féin is in sixth at the minute. She has a running mate, Paul Gavin, who has 24,000 odd votes. So that's her real hope, is that she gets the majority of those and pushes her ahead. Grace O'Sullivan, I mean, by my look at it, she should be gone. But a lot of people down there seem to be saying, you know, an outside bet, but that she's transferring well and could nip in ahead of McWallace if things bounce right for her.
Yeah, that's right. She would be seen as transfer friendly, I suppose, is the phrase I've been hearing a lot over the last couple of days. That Lorna Bogue was one of the last people to be eliminated here, and Lorna's surplus, some of that went to Grace. And, you know, it's really hard to call, Sean, what's happening with the surpluses, because, I mean, Sean Kelly, MEP, he really romped home 122,000, but a lot of his transfers then went to Billy Kelleher from a different party. So it doesn't always translate that someone's running mate in one party will, you know, that the other person from the other part from the same party will get their transfers. So it's really, really hard to call yet. It's almost impossible to try to figure out the transfers. I guess when people go in to the voting booth, is name recognition the important thing? And maybe that's the way they're doing it rather than on a party political basis.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I mean, Cynthia Verku is there at the moment. She's in fourth place, 57,000 votes, but 1,000 votes ahead of Mick Wallace. You know, I'm well within sort of catching range there. The hope seems to be for the Fianna Fáil side that the Fine Gael transfers will get them over. The John Mullins, the second candidate in the field, isn't going to make it. And he has 36,000 votes that could go to her in the same way that Sean Kelly transferred to Billy Keller.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably not going to make it. And then his transfers, then again, Cynthia Ni Murucú was here yesterday. She declared herself as being transfer friendly. That's, I suppose, what their internal polling had shown, that she was just a very popular candidate. So that has really, the transfers have really, really helped her. And she's a first time candidate, former broadcaster. And yeah, so we're going to see how that pans out.
Okay, Jamie, it's an interesting one. When are we going to know? Tomorrow afternoon, Thursday-ish? Is that the hope?
What day is it today? So, I think Thursday. So what Martin Harvey is saying is that we might get the second candidate after Sean, which would be, in theory, Billy Kelleher, voted in tomorrow morning. And then by tomorrow evening, we might get the other three who may not have reached the quota, but it would be pretty much a definitive result. So we could be done and dusted by certainly tomorrow evening or tomorrow night.
Okay, Jamie O'Hara, our Southern reporter, is there in Nemo Rangers. Could be there for a little while still. Well, it's on your coverage all throughout. And thanks a minute for joining us on Let Me Explain, Jamie. So we are going to go now to the only count that is actually finished in the Europeans. And that is the one in Dublin. We have all four MEPs elected, and Andrew Louth, our reporter, was there throughout all of it, going a bit stir crazy, I imagine, in the RDS, Barry. There seemed to be all sorts of shenanigans, literally wagon loads of pizzas being brought in by the end of things.
Yeah, that was on Monday night, and it was one of those things that just when you get go to an election count, Sean, it's you know yourself, anything and everything does and can happen. And yeah, there was a and see the thing that video going around from Gavin Riley that didn't actually capture. There was a couple of people before that crazy pizzas came in carrying about six or seven of them, and just thinking, oh yeah, no, that's grand. They're just people bringing pizzas in, feeding the staff, and then followed by that big massive craze, and it kind of took everybody aback a little bit, and a lot of jealous faces from those not involved in the actual counting of votes when all of those pizzas came in.
And so tell me about the results then. The first two were fairly predictable and fair as we thought. Regina Doherty of Fine Gael, Barry Andrews of Fianna Fáil. But it was one hell of a transfer scrap after that.
Yeah, so after the first count, it became clear that Barry Andrews, who topped the poll, was going to be elected back to Brussels. Remember, he first got elected in 2019, and then Regina Doherty for Fine Gael. Remember, she was running in this after Frances Fitzgerald said that she wasn't going to run again, and the two of them were fairly close by the end of the first count. Barry Andrews just above her, so it was clear from that beginning they would be elected, and it'd be hard for them to be caught. But yeah, as you said, it was very much a transfer scrap after that. Niall Boylan, the radio presenter running for Independent Ireland, he was picking up a lot of transfers from those kind of down the ballot, and he was hopeful that those that were transferring to bizarrely the likes of Sinead Gibney or Breed Smith or Claire Daly might go back to him then later on in those transfers. So he ended up on Monday night in third place when the count was adjourned for the night there. He had overtaken Lynn Boylan he'd overtaken Lynn Boylan, and the first transfers distributed then on Tuesday morning were those of Dathi Doolan, who was Lynn Boylan's running mate. And it was fully expected that Lynn Boylan would go back up to that place. She did. The Sinn Féin transfer strategy, as much as there's been criticism of their local and European campaign, they seem to have a good transfer strategy, and they were holding up really well. Lynn Boylan getting around 65% of Dathi Doolan's transfers to propel her back up, and that kind of sewed up her seat because there was always going to be some Lynn Boylan transfers from the likes of those kind of left parties, the likes of the Social Democrats and Breed Smith and Claire Daly as well. So Lynn Boylan's place became quite assured very early on, even if she wouldn't have admitted it herself. But Jesus, Sean, the last few transfers from the likes of Sinead Gibney, the Social Democrats, Breed Smith, People for Profit, Claire Daly, they really were the ones that sent the race, really hotted up the race. And it was Breed Smith's transfers in particular that ultimately decided, because Niall Boylan was always going to need a lot more than what he was getting. AIM 2 were also eliminated after Dathi Doolan. He got just under a third of those transfers. He needed more than that, because once it became a race between Ciarán Cough, the outgoing MEP, and Éireann Ó Riordan, they were going to always be transfer friendly to each other. There's similar kind of centre-left progressive policies between the two parties, and the two of them would consider themselves good friends as well. So there was always going to be a kind of an informal pact among voters there. So it really came down to a race of who was going to be ahead between Éireann Ó Riordan and Ciarán Cough before either one of them was eliminated. And ultimately, Éireann Ó Riordan jumped Ciarán Cough after Breed Smith's transfers, which also eliminated Claire Daly. She became the first MEP to lose her seat from Ireland. And it was those transfers that really jumped Éireann Ó Riordan above Ciarán Cough. There wasn't enough from Claire Daly for Ciarán Cough to go back above him. So that was really, once that happened, that was the end game.
And I read this morning that Claire Daly actually turned down the offer of a transfer pact with Breed Smith during the campaign, which seems to have been a mistake. Now, Andrew, as ever, eyes are already turning towards the next election. We're not even done the counting in this election. A number of things. So as to where this goes, obviously Labour, a good win for them. They won't hold that seat in Dublin Bay North. So that's one seat that's going to affect them Dublin-wise. But you now have two very high-profile candidates in Ciarán Cough and Claire Daly, who are prospective general election candidates in Dublin, in the new Fine Gael, and wherever they might choose to run. Cough, I know Claire Daly didn't deign to talk to any of you on her way out of the the Count Centre, but was Kieran Cuff saying anything about his potential future?
He didn't rule it out, Sean. He said that he wanted to take some time and then think about what his next move would be. It's just the only problem is where you would run Kieran Cuff, because he would have run in the past in kind of that Dunleary Rathdown constituency, but now you have Catherine Martin in Rathdown, and then you have Oisin Smith and Dunleary. So there doesn't really seem to be room from there. I know in the last local elections in 2019, he topped the poll in the North Inner City. So unless NASA Horrigan has something to say about that, could that be a potential landing spot for him? And we know NASA Horrigan has had her problems with the way the Green government has been operating things. She's still without the party whip, I believe. But, you know, could there be a potential landing spot for Kieran Cuff in Dublin Central to go up against the likes of Mary Lou McDonald and Pascal Donoghue? And, of course, that's Bertie Ahern's old stomping ground as well. Claire Daly, yeah, she refused. It was interesting because on Monday, Claire Daly turned up to the Count Centre. And Sean, just kind of give people an idea of some of the things that we do in the background. If News Talk weren't doing any programming on elections, on the elections at that particular time, we would try ourselves to get a couple of sound bites from prospective candidates or any notable politicians that are in the Count Centre, and then we can feed that back for our own stations to use. And I asked Claire Daly, would she speak? And she said to me that she doesn't speak at Count Centres to the media, which I thought was a little bit strange, because 5 years ago she spoke to Virgin Media when there was that whole issue of the Brexit seat, and do they have another count to decide who gets the third seat in Dublin and who has ended up in that fourth seat, which only could be taken up in January when Brexit was finalised. So it was truly a bizarre statement. And when Claire Daly left the Count Centre last night, you obviously saw that video where she refused to speak to RTE. But then I had my microphone in my hand as she was walking past us, and she said, "I'm not giving up the habit of a lifetime." And just as she was walking past me. So, you know, it is what it is. Kieran Cuff, when he was eliminated, was happy to speak to us. But Claire Daly is an interesting one, because obviously she would have run in the Fingal constituency in the past, and that is now split into Fingal West and Fingal East. I think I wouldn't be surprised if she announces that she's going to run, although she does have kind of an underling who's performing very well on Fingal County Council, Dean Mulligan. He had a good election poll over the weekend as well in the locals. So could he be making a run there? Will that be kind of usurped if Claire Daly decides to run? And if she does, what would it mean for Duncan Smith of Labour as well? Labour obviously had a decent Fingal election campaign that in the Rush Lusk wards, they polled 40% and got two candidates in there. So that was obviously a big boost for Duncan Smith. But if Claire Daly runs then in the same constituency as him, then it kind of throws that up in the air, because Duncan Smith would probably have felt that he already had a fight on his hands. But Claire Daly ruling nothing out either, from based on conversations that I had.
Yeah, she could run in one and have Dean Mulligan run in the other, or work it that way. But that's very interesting. And here in Cuff, you wonder, would Dublin Bay North be the maybe the ideal home for him? I think it's the only, or one of the only, Dublin constituencies anyway. The Greens didn't take a seat in 2020. Andrew Louth, get some rest, well-deserved, after a long count in Dublin. And I hope you managed to swipe some of that pizza for yourself. We're going now to what is going to be the longest count by the look of it, and the last one. So Barry having no sympathy, I imagine, with Andrew Louth or anyone. Barry White, our chief reporter, has been in Castlebar. Barry, God, it's been a long old slog so far and not nearly done, but you think it's done in terms of a result?
Well, I think, yeah. I think, Sean, well, the first four candidates are starting at this stage. We just had the 11th count there just before 12 o'clock today, which is, are we on Wednesday? I've been here so long, I'm losing count of days. But yeah, Luke Ming-Flanagan is on almost 83,000 votes at this stage. Of Nina Carberry, who's on almost 77,000. Maria Walsh actually moved up into third after the 11th count. She's on almost 76,000. And then you've Barry Cowan, who is now in fourth, and he's not far behind Maria Walsh. He's on just over 75,000. So those four look almost certain. I was working it out earlier. I would say maybe by count 19, count 20, Barry Cowan might be the first elected, because once Niall Blaney and Lisa Chambers are eliminated, then they should transfer heavily to Barry Cowan, which might be enough to get him elected. It still might not be, though, because the quota is 113,325. So he's going to need quite a lot of transfers, but he may go close to it. Lookming Flanagan has been transferring well. When we get to about count 19 or 20, he may go close as well, but I think it's probably more likely that it's going to go until the final count and we'll see all five elected then. As for the fifth seat, Kieran Mullooly is in pole position. He's just over 12,500 votes ahead of Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew. Now, I found it interesting because I spoke to Michelle Gildernew yesterday, Sean, and she was very, very downbeat. She said she's not optimistic. She was basically conceding. But then Piers Doherty came today and I was speaking to him and he's saying it's an uphill battle, but it's not over. Once Chris McManus goes out, they expect him to transfer to Michelle Gildernew as heavily as Dahi Doolan would have transferred to Lynn Boylan in Dublin. So they think that may push Michelle Gildernew very, very close to Kieran Mullooly. But then I suppose you're going to have Lisa Chambers, Pádraig Tobin. Where are their transfers going to go? I think from the partial tallies I've seen, I think Pádraig Tobin will transfer more to Kieran Mullooly than he will to Michelle Gildernew. But yeah, not completely over, an outside chance of Sinn Féin getting that fifth and final seat. But I think it's the first four are certain, and I would be putting Kieran Mullooly's chances at over 90% at this stage. Michelle Gildernew knows everything about running in tight elections. She's a former MP for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, and I actually remember covering that constituency in the Westminster elections in 2010. And I think it was the independent Rodney Connor she was up against then, and she won that by just 4 votes. So she knows all about tight elections, and she did mention that yesterday. So yeah, I think it's almost certain, but not done at this stage. They've been counting the votes so slowly here, Sean. I'm not sure if we're going to see anybody elected today. Will we get to count 19 or 20? Maybe by the early hours of the morning. If we get to maybe 1, 2 a.m., we might get somebody elected, but it's definitely going to go on to tomorrow. And I'm really just hoping that this will be over then tomorrow.
Yeah, you may as well buy property in Castlebar, Scottish Barry, for as long as you've been there.
I'm starting to pick up a Mayo accent at this stage.
God forbid that one. Barry Weiser, chief reporter, thanks for joining us. He'll, of course, be keeping us updated across News Talk online and on air for however long that count in Midlands North West goes on. Thanks for listening to this episode of Let Me Explain, bringing you up to date on everything that's happening in the local elections and the European elections. And as I say, keep an eye on the News Talk website and Barry's social media for those final seats in Midlands North West.